Well, a warm welcome to all who are joining the St. Paul community today to be intentional about taking some time away from the chaos of life around us to hear and reflect on God's word and work in all of our lives. And as we gather together today, I pray that your Lenten journey has so far led you into a deeper relationship with God as you reflect on the life and the ministry of Jesus and reflect on your own faith. And as we gather together today, we come in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me now in a word of prayer. Merciful God, you are the one who justifies the ungodly and calls things that do not yet exist into being. As we come before you today, we bring forth all the chaos of our lives, our sins, our striving to do better, our empty hands. And we ask that you take away our desire to earn anything from you, and again, teach us to trust in your promises, to cling to your word, to rest in your grace, and to hope in you who gives life. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. And our reading for today comes from the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to Rome. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who does not work, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the law that brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this reason, the promise depends on faith, in order that it may rest on grace, so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. I invite you here to take a moment to think about a time when someone came to you and said, I just read this book and it made me think about you. You should add it to your list. Or maybe they said, I traveled to this place and I think you'd enjoy it, you should look into it. Or maybe it was, I watched this movie or TV show and I think you'd like it, you should check it out. I think for everyone, that is a universal experience. But I think where we start to differ is in what we do with those recommendations and suggestions from those around us. Some of us may actually take them to heart, writing them down with the intention of going back, of reading and watching or researching those places or things, because we know the person who brought them to us really thought about us in doing that. And then there might be some of us who just say a polite thank you, nodding along as the person talks, not really having any intention of bookmarking it or going back to their suggestions. And then there might even be some of us who write it down, knowing the person is telling us them for a reason, having this list that's created, but never really going back to it to cross any of the things off. And I fall into that last category. I have this ever-growing list of books that friends have suggested, recipes that people have shared with me, vacation spots that people say they want to go on with me, TV shows and movies that family think I would enjoy, and that list keeps growing longer and longer, but I oftentimes don't find myself going back to it to cross things off of it. But recently, so many people have been telling me about the show, The Pitt, that I figured I would listen and give it a try. So not too long ago, I turned on an episode, figuring it would just be background noise as I did other things around the house. But as many people said would happen, the show pulled me in. Now, for those of you who haven't seen it or haven't heard of it, The Pitt is a medical drama that highlights the realities of working in modern day medicine through the lenses of nurses and doctors in an emergency room set in the urban Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And throughout the season, each episode takes place as an hour of their 12-hour shift, showing how the emergency room functions with all its different moving parts and pieces. And what continually strikes me about each episode is how all the chaos works. You have stretchers bursting through doors. You hear alarms sounding throughout the halls. People shout instructions to each other. People are working around each other on patients trying to help them. You see people who are waiting get frustrated as those who come in with bigger emergencies are treated before them, even though they've been waiting for hours. And I'm sure, like much in this show, all emergency rooms and hospitals are filled with this exact same chaos. But amidst those moments of adrenaline rushing, emergencies happening one after another, everyone who is treated the same. No one stops when a new patient comes through the door to categorize them into the way that people tend to categorize others in society. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter if they're a good person or if they've made bad decisions. None of that matters in that moment. From the moment that that patient enters into the emergency room, they are seen first as a person who needs help. And all of the nurses and the doctors and the paramedics are doing everything they can in their power to heal and to help that person. And it's only after they are stable that everyone begins to learn their story. And now The Pitt does a really good job of showing the nurses and the doctors in the emergency room taking their time to sit and to learn about each patient. And while that may not be able to be a reality in most hospitals or emergency rooms in our world today, there are still social workers and chaplains and therapists, psychologists, and many other hospital employees who do this work and who spend this time with patients to hear their stories and to learn about who they are. Once the individual is treated and stable, the hospital learns their name and hears their story. They talk about their history. They learn about the family. The patient is able to share their fears and their hopes at that time. And when we think about the way an emergency room operates and works, that's the way that we want it. We want healing to come first. We expect that mercy is flowing faster than any judgment. And while that system works in an emergency room, as we move beyond that particular setting, we lose sight of the way that humanity should come first. And instead, the world around us teaches us to see people for their background, or to separate out those who don't talk or who don't interact in the same ways that you and I might. We judge people based on the decisions they make. We compare our lives so quickly to the lives of those around us. But our reading today calls us back into that emergency room practice, that backwards way of thinking that allows mercy to move first and to move faster than judgment. And in our reading today, Paul calls us into that practice by telling us that God justifies the ungodly. God doesn't go to those who have the most faith or to those who have brought the most people into faith or to those who are shouting the loudest about who their God is. God justifies the ungodly. Paul reminds us that our faith is not about our work. And he uses Abraham as that example. Abraham, who was somebody who had built an impressive resume of faithful works before God. He left his home. He journeyed with God in full obedience. He built altars. He taught people how to worship. He saved many people. He practiced the hospitality that God talked about. He led his life with the covenant obedience of God. And Paul tells us that because of all of this and more, Abraham indeed had something he could boast about. But he couldn't boast about those things in front of God. For as faithful as Abraham was, as much as he listened to God and as much as he followed the Lord, for as much work as he had done with his faith, none of it was to prove anything or to earn anything from God. Because God's righteousness and God's gifts to us are just that, a gift. Paul is using Abraham to remind us that our own faith, even in our lives today, is not something that we have to earn or that we have to prove. Whether that's through following the law or doing our work, but it's something that God just freely gives to all. God does not look at us and see how closely we follow the things that he's calling us into. God didn't look at the Jews and see how closely they followed the Torah. He didn't look at the Gentiles and compare their lives to Christ's lives to see how much they were following Christ. God doesn't look at us and measure our own faith or how faithfully we are living in order to find how much righteousness or to gift us with the things that God gives. God just gives all of those things freely to everyone, even the ungodly. God moves in our time and space towards everybody before they have the chance to explain themselves. Before they feel that need to defend their choices, before they feel like they have to fix anything about themselves. And Paul is telling us that this is our God, a God who treats first, who justifies first, a God who gives life first, a God who loves first. And it's because our God acts this way, in this act of mercy moving faster than judgment, that we're able to have our faith. And in knowing what God justifies and loves and tends to and cares and how that's for everybody, even the ungodly, shows us what it means to follow Christ. And in that, we witness what it looks like to live in godly ways. And we each are able to experience what it feels like to freely receive these gifts of God. God sees each of us, even amidst that chaos of all of our lives. And just like our friends and families and those who know us and know what we like, and know what we need to do, God brings things to us. But instead of waiting for us to make that list, that we may or may not go back to look at those suggestions and those recommendations, God just sends us to the places where we belong. And God just surrounds us with the friends and families who love us unconditionally. God just nourishes us in this life. God continually calls forth creation to surround us in its beauty. God freely gives these gifts and so many more to everyone. God freely gives gifts to you and to me. He gifts us righteousness. And God freely gives gifts to our neighbors across the streets and around the world, treating them with respect and showing them love. God freely welcomes the outcasts and the strangers. God freely justifies all, from the most holy to even the ungodly. Amen. Join me again in a prayer. We pray for the church, all of creation, and the whole people of God. Almighty God, we pray for the whole church as we walk this Lenten journey beside Jesus. We ask you to hold us in your promises of love and forgiveness so that we may embody the peace and patience that you call the church into amidst the chaos of the world. Teach us to live in a way that embodies your way of mercy, moving before judgment. Guide us to be your hands and feet in the lives of all those around us, both in and outside of the church. Creator God, we rejoice in all aspects of your grand creation. We thank you for the sunshine that warms our faces and the rains that nourish the land, for the snows that cover creation in beauty and the winds that move across all lands. We ask that you continue to protect and comfort all animals and habitats as humanity causes changes to their homes. May you lead us into having a healing touch on destruction caused to all creation. Protecting God, we pray for the whole family of Christ. We ask that you continue to make your presence known to comfort those who feel alone or who grieve, to heal those who are sick, to let your love be felt in those who feel unworthy and unloved, that you continue to teach us what it means to justify the ungodly. We trust in your promises and go out in faith with the gifts you freely give to all. And we pray these prayers and the silent ones of our hearts in your holy name. Amen. And may we all go now in the confidence of this good news, that God justifies the ungodly and calls everybody his own. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go in peace and serve in faith.